Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts that there ever was. I am back with the good friend Paul Morrissey.
Hey.
Back from the wild.
Who's this, W.C. Fields?
Yeah. I'm here with Paul Morrissey, yes. We're going to be doing a podcast in Boston, yes. What's wrong with the mic? You can't look like you're having a problem.
I screwed it back on. I didn't know if it could screw off this part.
Oh, really? Don't mess around with it, man.
No, I did. I screwed it back on.
This is the only equipment we have. When we get our new producer, thank you for subscribing to the podcast, all of you Patreon people.
Yes, we have tons of new people, by the way.
I've gotten
messages all over the place. I've never heard podcast before. I just started listening to yours. It's my favorite one.
It's good, and we are close. I think I'm going to start poking around and seeing if we can't get a producer. Not that a producer would be able to help us today because we are far from home. We are more than capable of doing it on our own, but then there's always the... There's nothing worse than putting up the podcast and, hey, I can't hear Paul. So thank you for subscribing, and you can do that at patreon.com. How else can they get to Patreon? Can they go through our websites? Can they?
I think it's on the link's on my page. It's on my Twitter, your page, I'm pretty sure.
Go to patreon.com, come to Papa, and you can subscribe as well and be part of the Come to Papa family. For all of you that have not, that's okay too. There's lots of other content for you, and you're experiencing it right now. We are in Boston right now because we have a show tonight at the City Winery. And then
it's sold out.
Yes, completely sold out. It's such a nice feeling when you get to a town and you don't have to worry about how many people are coming. Such a good thing. So thank you, Boston. And go to TomPapa.com for all of the tickets. I'm going up to Vancouver next week. Live Come to Papa this Tuesday, the 27th, in New York City with Rachel Feinstein, Ted Alexandro, Greer Barnes. The great Dave Hill makes a return.
Oh,
it's going to be fun. And the great Rick Chrome, of course. And then I go up to Vancouver for the Just for Laughs Festival, where I'm playing Yuck Yucks, I think it's called. I'll be doing shows there on Friday and Saturday. And then back home to L.A. for a brief moment to say hello to the dog and make some bread. And then bammo, right back out to Indiana and Chicago.
Yeah, Indianapolis and Chicago. We're hitting Midwest for all the people who say we never go Midwest.
Yeah, Chicago. I think the first show might be sold out at the City Winery, but the second one still has tickets available. And Indianapolis, I think you can still get tickets for that. We're going to do I'm going to do the Bob and Tom show, which I've always called in, but I've never gone in.
Oh, you never gone there?
No.
It's fun.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited. Those guys have always been very kind to me, a great radio show. And I'll be hitting that up on the 8th. But enough of that. We're out here. We're running around. And I am finally out of Orlando. As you know from last week's episode, I was alone in Orlando for way too many days. And it took its toll on me. I'll tell you.
You're all Disneyed out?
Oh. I was at the Universal... part. I have to say I'm pretty proud of myself that I not once did I leave the property and go to the actual park.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't go to the City Walk. I didn't go to the park. When I was pulling up, I saw, like, you know, the City Walk at Universal is, like, all the stores and stuff that leads up to the park.
Right.
They have it in L.A. They have it in Florida. There is a people mover, like they have in the airports, that goes the whole length of, like, from where parking in the entrance is all the way up until the park, and it's just filled with restaurants and all this stuff. The people mover, as I was pulling up, was filled with people. I mean, thousands and thousands of people just being herded into the thing. I was like, I don't care if I have to eat the same awful Caesar salad through room service again. I am not going to go fight with those people to try and find something else to eat.
You're not going out there.
I couldn't. I literally couldn't.
Did you hear any of the shtick from the tour, the people mover tour guides?
No, it was kind of, you know, it wasn't that close. There was, I don't want to, it's almost like, I feel like I've got, like I got sprung out of a prison. Like yeah. I was like Papillon or something. I landed on the coconuts and I got out of there. I don't want to even go back and
what
relive it.
What did you eat in Vietnam, Tom?
Oh, bugs that I found. And then busted out at 4:30 this morning. I was free to leave. You know you're beat when you get on a flight and you just fall asleep and don't move until you land.
It is the best because you're not even analyzing, am I going to sleep or what am I going to do or anything. It's just
nothing,
out of your control.
You don't care about what music you have on your phone. You don't care if you're going to read or not or if you're going to eat or not. You just, it's kind of like going for a colonoscopy. They just knock you out, and well, next thing you know, you're back in the car. Your pants are on backwards, but you're back in the car. I have a big physical coming up soon.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And I am lighter than I was my last physical.
That's good.
So I hope my doctor's going to be impressed.
So you're losing bone mass?
I am now down to, I've gone through all my fat, and now I'm just losing bone.
You're shrinking now? That's the good. You weigh less is the good news, but you're shrinking. You're an inch shorter.
I went to see my parents down in the retirement land of Florida, and my mother at one point said that all of the cabinets are getting taller. Yep, that's the problem. The cabinets are growing.
When does it happen?
I guess in your 70s.
You think?
Yeah, probably.
I think it's the way that you stand.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know, though. I don't know any old people that don't get smaller.
Don't hunch
even
over.
Even like really thin in shape folk.
Yeah.
You know, they all start to get a little smaller.
Don't you think science will get good enough that we can hit like a growth spurt in our 50s?
That would be nice.
Some kind of new amino acid pill that we can take.
There's enough stuff out there to keep these people going. I was hanging out down there in retirement town and, you know, people are, they don't look the best, but they're all moving around. This isn't, yeah. You know, it's like... First of all, I think people are retiring way too early.
Definitely.
There are a lot of very competent, healthy people just sitting around waiting for 4 o'clock so they could go to Bubba Gump Shrimp Shack.
Happy hour.
And start getting all liquored up and just hanging at the beach. And I mean, I'm not saying they're going to go out and run a marathon, but these people could definitely be working.
Yeah, I don't know what the real... plan is for a lot of, like, my Uber driver to the airport was a guy who was like worked for the city and they kind of paid you basically to retire early. So he's like, I just drive for Uber because I was sitting around the house and now I gotta wait 4 years and then I get my 401k and then I'm in, then everything's great. And I was like, but what happens then? Nothing's changed. Like, you're driving, you're making, like, anything that you want to do, you should do right now. There's not,
yeah.
It's not like you're just going to not ever work for Uber anymore. You're going to be bored out of your skull.
You're still going to be bored.
So you got to find something to do. You need to have a 70s plan for all of your 70s.
You really do. I mean, because you just kind of, you know, you read, you watch the news a little bit, you sit at the beach for a minute. And that's why they start happy hour at 4 o'clock and have their early bird special at 5. It's like, let's wrap this day up. There's nothing else to do. Let's eat. Let's eat and drink and go to bed by 9.
There should be a thing where people start bands or something when they're in their 70s.
I don't think that's, well, maybe.
Well, I'm going.
I mean, once you're in that community, like literally, I was like, I could see like in my 80s being living here in this nice, beautiful, you know, ocean and stuff and be like, all right, I got to go do a gig at the condo. I got a 4 o'clock show at the condo.
Tom does a Thursday night in the Beachcomber. That's what that's what Don Ho used to do every Thursday at this hotel lounge.
Absolutely. That's no joke. I could see that being a fun thing to do.
It's have like, your friends come on still.
Yeah, what the hell? I don't, you know, if you end up being a bigger star, then maybe you play a slightly nicer place. But I think to have a gig in your 80s.
Yeah.
And there's like other people like your age and you're all kind of hanging out and talking about all your old people stuff or whatever. Just to have a gig.
Yeah, why would you retire?
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I'm surprised they don't have a comedy club that's like 70 and over, comedians only. Like in Florida.
Yeah, but you don't even have to open a new one. You just have to do it at the regular comedy club, but run the shows at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Vegas noon show.
I realized the hardest job in a retirement area like Florida, I'll call the whole state a retirement area, the hardest job has to be being a waiter or waitress.
Oh, yes, definitely.
In those places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh, my God. The amount of being a waiter or waitress is hard regardless, wherever you are. I think everybody should do it at one time in their life just so you realize how hard it is.
Right.
And then you treat everybody who is a server with respect. But in the old folks part of town, just having to deal with old man's corny jokes, that part alone is gotta be just torture. Every guy walks in and thinks, hey, little lady.
Right, right.
How, you busy tonight? And is just thinks he's the charming 25-year-old guy that he was, but he's a guy with liver spots and dentures and bad breath, and he's just, this is his time to shine. Just having to deal with the old guy's awful jokes is hard.
Were you in your parents, like, community? Do they have like a clubhouse thing or no?
No, they just like rent in a condo kind of thing.
Because that's what I'm talking about is my parents live in a place where there's the clubhouse and everyone goes there to eat and it's the same waitresses every day. So they know what everyone drinks.
Uh-huh.
And then the complaints come of, she usually doesn't give me ice cubes in this or she usually better about this. And it's like, that's their true bond, you know. A lot of those people, that's why I always read about those guys giving their inheritance to, like, the waitress at the Waffle House or something.
I know.
She's my best friend.
It really is. It's like, you know what it is? It's old people who think that the people at the restaurant are really your friends.
Yeah.
It's the same sad story as when a guy thinks that the girl at the strip club would talk to him if he didn't keep putting money on the table.
Right, right.
Right. You ever see that? You ever see like a guy in a strip club and he's just talking and every once in a while he's got to put down another 20 to keep the conversation going and then he falls in love with her? Oh, it's so sad.
The one I have seen a lot of bartender, like I knew there's a friend of mine who was like roommates with an older guy. And he used to just drink at this bar, and it was, like, a really cute bartender.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, bought her a car, like, just because this girl was, like, nice to him.
I could see that, though. Couldn't you? Like, I could see if you have a little dough and you're this young girl, you know, that you're under no illusion that she's in love with you. But where else are you going to spend your money?
But as the girl, could you take you would take whatever the guy gave you without any kind of
misgivings? Well, it's tricky. I don't know. I mean, what do you do at that point? And then when he's like, all right, it's Thanksgiving night. How about a little payback?
Oh, he gave you a car. What did you give him for his birthday? Lottery ticket?
Yeah. No, I mean, look, there's no way around it. We're going to be the same thing. I already make goofy jokes to waitresses and waiters. And, you know, I mean, it's just, and then you get older, you still think you got it. And there was a guy that walked in who was kind of the regular at the place.
Yeah.
And I'm like checking in with the hostess, and this guy comes to the front of the line, and, hey, Debbie, how's the leg? And just letting it be known that this is his place, you know. And then he sits right at the bar. Hey, Don's back. Hey, you the usual? Yep. I mean, what else are you going to do, I guess? But here's the thing. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with all of it. We're all going to end up kind of like, you know, it's just the way it goes. And it's a nice thing. It's a good thing to be able to go to Florida and hang out and be comfortable. And
have your place.
Yeah. I mean, whatever.
It could be Applebee's. You
but,
know?
Man, you know, after 2 days of that, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just because we're younger. I would lose my mind. Maybe when you get older, you don't lose your mind because you're just trying to get to the beach and back without falling. That's enough of an adventure.
Well,
but I feel like either we have to keep doing like shows or write or something.
Well, that's the thing that you have to figure out is if you are a, like, the structure of it, you know, because there's definitely people that are, it's structure and superstition that I eat here for lunch every day. I go to this place. I read the paper. I do this, and I have to do all those things, or else. Because that's what you talk to those people. Are like, why do you get up at 5 in the morning every morning and walk for 7 minutes?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just
what. So what are you saying? That's. It's just they just like a routine.
Yeah. Because my old thing is, why don't you just take, you know, everyone always complains about how tired they are or all this kind of stuff. It's like, you're retired. Why don't you, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah. I think you got to keep moving.
Yes.
You got to exercise. You got to move around. And you got to have some, I mean, I'm trying to think of like old people who are still like doing a bunch of stuff. I guess Jane Goodall.
Yeah.
She's still floating around and doing speeches and playing with monkeys.
But like Warren,
she's 80.
Warren Buffett, they followed him and they're like, he still lives in the same house he lived in when he was
still goes
younger
to work
and goes to this and picks up his own mail and is like, all right, he feels the need to do that. That's his thing. You know?
I do like the routine. I do like hearing of like old people. I always like the idea of the old dude who goes and has his coffee and toast every day at the hotel, in the hotel restaurant. And that's where he opens his mail, goes through his notes, does a little bit of writing, and then goes out. Like, I like that. I like being that guy.
Yeah.
You walk in. Oh, Mr. Papa. Good morning, Dolores. How are you? And you sit down. Here's your coffee. Thank you very much. You sit and you see the travelers coming through. There's something very elegant and like you've kind of earned that kind of a routine in a way.
Right.
And I'm stopping myself as I'm talking because I'm probably like if I'm, if some old person were to hear us talk, it'd be the same as us listening to somebody with their big ideas when they're 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, all right, pal, Mr. I love activities. How about when you're 80 years old? You can't even pee straight.
Well, no, yeah. Meanwhile, this is best case scenario. We make it to 80.
Yeah.
Everything goes great. And then what do we want to do? That's the thing. It's like, yeah, you'd love to be able to have a great, great meal without worrying about whether there's sugar in your syrup or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's a question. Do you think at that age, let's say you're single.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've been married, divorced. Maybe she died parachuting or something. You're 75, 80. Let's go 75. Are you still dating?
Well, that's what's happened. The Viagra's ruined the whole curve of it, you know? Like,
no, but you.
Oh, me?
Yes.
Oh. I don't know. What do you become the guy who hangs out on the beach in the Speedo?
Are you attracted to other people your age?
I don't think so.
I doubt it, right? But yeah. I saw like a lot of people, you know, sitting in restaurants and stuff look like they were dating and stuff. And it was like, you know, that dating vibe of working hard at dinner. And I just kept thinking, oh, your breath stinks. Her breath stinks. What's going on?
There is a lot of companionship, though. There's like yes, a lot of.
Right. And you meet somebody and it's like maybe you don't see that they're just a big blob of skin. You're just like, you remember Bon Jovi? I remember Bon Jovi.
Well, I do remember that. I think there was one retirement place that my parents were in where there was two couples, and the wife of the one and the husband of the other both died.
Mm-hmm.
And then the husband, the widowers, ended up marrying each other.
Right.
So they lived across the street from each other, and then they were alone, and then they married each other. And you got a feeling yeah. that was just for companionship, you know? Like,
yeah.
When so you get you married think... again in your 80s.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know. I don't even want to talk about this. It's so disturbing, but there's probably some kind of sexual activity going on.
Well, here's an interesting one. So I'm going down to Florida.
To pick and, up an old lady?
I'm going to do... Well, I'm going to check out spring training, but also my parents had tickets to see Willie Nelson at Ruth Eckert, which is part of that theater that we did, the Capitol Theater.
Yeah, I like that.
So, so isn't that interesting that Willie is 80-something?
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be... These people are going to be his
town.
Age, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? So do you think as a performer you feel that when people are... actually your age, or do you think he's much cooler than anybody that age?
He's definitely the coolest one.
Yeah.
And he's not sticking around either. He's getting back on that bus and moving to the next town. And, you know what I mean? But I mean, he knows that was these are the women that I was hanging out with when I was 20. Yeah, for sure.
But do you, because he did have one of those. He had like I think he found out he had another daughter, like, just a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. I'm
and,
sure.
And he's like, absolutely. I heard an interview and he's like, he wasn't upset, but of course the other kids are, because that's another sixth out of their inheritance. You know?
Yeah. Unless you're Jerry Lewis.
Right, right.
Who cut everybody out, but except for like the one.
Yeah.
Oof, rough.
But, yeah, because that's the thing is people used to criticize, like, oh, he's old, like Johnny Cash or something. He's old. He's going out with his family. Why does he just retire? It's like, what could be more fun for you than to, like, be doing these sold-out shows with your kids, like, when you're in your 80s? How much fun would that be, just traveling around?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, like, when you're Willie Nelson, it makes perfect sense. Like, he looked old when he was 40.
Yeah.
You know, he was kind of a grizzled... old country creature of the road,
right?
For his whole life. It's when you were young and sexy and now you're still doing it, that's rough.
Well,
we talked about that. I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but we were someplace and I was watching Foreigner in concert.
Right.
I had the Foreigner album when I was a kid. It was like one of the first albums I had, you know. Hot-blooded, check right. It and see. I got a fever. And I'm, they're in concert. I don't mean like in the 80s. I mean today.
Yeah.
Old dudes playing guitar and tight shirts and their lizard right. skin and their weird fluffy grandma hair. And they're sitting there doing a guitar solo and leaning in. I mean, Keith Richards can pull it off as the, like, but he was always a creature himself. Mick can do it. Very few people, and they really are starting to look like when my parents used to check out doo-wop
yeah.
groups. They're like, oh, he was such a dream when I was a child. That's what rock is now. It's all old doo-wop people.
Well, that's what, yeah. If you're ever trying to be cool at some point, that's when it pays you back, when you're in your 60s trying to pull it off again.
It's like trying to, it's like, you know, an actress who's a sex symbol.
Yeah.
And you know, and then they complain about why they don't get work. It's like, you know, what's her name from Three Billboards?
Oh,
McDonald, McDowell.
McDonald's
had a farm. She's an amazing actress, but she wasn't, you know, working TNA to make her career. You know what I mean? And more power to you if you got it and you can work it. And, you know, that's fine.
Like Lacey
Underall. Some people do. Some, you know, Susan Sarandon changed. You know, there's other. But if it goes with men also. If you're the young stud and then you know, you don't turn into like a mature adult, it kind of dies on the vine.
Pauly Shore.
I do not need to see Foreigner or Journey or, you know, Rick Springfield.
Tom Kiss puts on makeup.
Well, they're kind of more like the Willie thing. Like, you don't know what the hell they are.
You're 60s, of course I want to wear makeup. Of course. I don't want anybody to see my face.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's a good one. Bob Dylan, I just saw his tour dates. Every night the guy is touring. He's still going out there banging it out. But he was a weird, you know, road creature.
Yeah, he never tried to be cool at any point.
No.
That's the key.
That's the key. That's why our careers are going to go great, because we're not cool.
Well, we're not trying to be some type of hip now. You're not, you know, like David Lee Roth that still has to wear tights, you know? How long do you have to keep the long hair? That's why I like that Metallica guy, like, cut his hair short. He's like, I don't care. I'm just playing music.
Yeah, and you got your fans and you do it, but man, you know, old is old. But old is different. Old is definitely different. I mean, you know, there was a time when people just died when they were 60.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is we're still functional. Like one of the retirements I kind of liked, even though he was really young, was the Johnny Carson thing I read about, when he still like got up and read the paper every morning and made jokes.
Yeah.
And he would send them to the guy, his older producer, who would send them to Letterman once in a while.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like that he was just making jokes on his own.
Yeah.
And
no, that's great. I really believe that personally, like, when I think about the future like that, writing is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
I think it's just does such great things to your brain. It keeps you relevant. You're not out there shaking your ass. You're at a typewriter just trying to come up with cool stuff for people to read.
Yeah, Stephen King doesn't have to retire.
Yeah, I know. Writing, man, I think that's the key.
And you got stories, and you probably won't care about offending anybody when everyone's dead.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. We'll see where the culture is when we get up there, but... You know, Garrison Keillor's in his 70s, and they seem to care how he was acting.
I just mean to tell the story of, you know, like, there's all these things, you know, even the JFK stuff, there's still guys that are, like, hoping they're the last guy standing, and they can actually tell what really happened, or, you know what I mean? There's all these guys that have their conspiracy theories and stuff.
Yeah.
You can do writing. You could be the male Grandma Moses. You can start painting in your 80s and become famous.
You got to do something. It doesn't even have to be something big and fame oriented. It's just like, you got to walk down to the corner farmer's market and help them park cars. You got to do something. You got to be needed. You got to have a feeling when you're older that some people are like, where's Paul? Where's Paul? We need Paul. That kind of...
For bocce?
Gets you up and gets you going.
For the bocce league? Ping pong?
I always thought that maybe I would be really high when I'm old. But I don't think so. I don't think... I don't know. Willie Nelson seems to be... like. It takes too much out of you.
Well, that's because he quit drinking. I think that was his balance.
Yeah.
He needed that. But
he was a hardcore.
He's a lot more active than you kind of think, though, because he was a runner. Like, he used to do all these running races, and then he golfs apparently all the time now.
Yeah.
Like, he's a big golfer, especially in Hawaii. So, he's got the life, man.
Willie is the guy. Willie is the ultimate senior. That is the life. Just riding around in a bus made of marijuana, golfing, playing shows. Everybody loves you.
Yeah.
It's a that really is a good one.
Yeah, that's a was there any, ever a time where people didn't like Willie Nelson?
Well, Willie Nelson didn't like Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
That's what they would say in the documentary. They'd flash to Waylon Jennings. Willie Nelson didn't like Willie Nelson. Yeah, he was very unhappy. He used to, yeah, because he was a big drunk and he used to beat people up and he had a crazy temper.
Oh, really?
Willie Nelson had a mean temper. That's why the weed
balanced
works
him
on
out.
Him as medicine. Yeah. And it's all about your health, Paul. That's why going to yoga is a good thing because you got to be able to move around.
Did you see in your closet the yoga mat in there?
I know. If only the room if the room was only big enough to do yoga.
Yeah,
I can do it over there a little.
It's not ideal space in this place, but
no, but stretching is the biggest thing. You got to stretch and booze it up. You know, my dry January has extended well into February. I think I've had two nights where I drank and I mean, like, one glass of wine.
Oh, really?
And then the other night, the one night was a bunch. Yeah. It's, I've got 2 more weeks till my physical. Another week and a half till my physical, so why light it up now?
So you want to ruin it?
I want to lie to my doctor. I heard a scary thing that, when I was down in retirement town, you know, the thing they talk about is, everybody's ailments. And what's killing them. And one guy had a heart attack or something. Some, like, I don't know, fitness person or something. And they said that you go for these physicals and they say, yeah, your heart's good. Your blood pressure's all right. You're going to be okay. And then the guy had a heart attack like the next day. Because they don't do a test that shows how much blockage you have in your actual arteries.
Right.
And that there's some kind of test you can get to really see if you're going to have a heart attack.
So you're saying you want, like, invasive heart exploration, even though you don't have a problem?
Yeah, I guess so.
You want to get a stent put in?
Yeah, because that's always
just
the story.
In case.
Because that's always the story you always hear is the guy that didn't have a problem had a heart attack.
Right.
And it's like, well, it turned out he had a 100% blockage in his left stuff.
Or he had an aortic, a valve missing.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. How about Colin?
Yeah. He's okay.
He's fine. They had to put a little stent or something in his thing. I'm going to go see him in the next day or so.
I think it was he saw that Black Panther movie. Got him too excited.
I was with two people last night who were actually not that impressed with Black Panther.
I haven't seen it yet.
They said it was too long.
That's the thing with all these superhero movies. It's like, I don't have 3 hours.
I know. They said it could have been cut in half.
But people love it, though. That's what Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter, I couldn't stick with either.
It's too much.
It's just too much of a commitment.
What's funny, I know some people are going to go, Tom, yes, that's the way life is. I didn't realize, I've heard this phrase a lot over the last week. Have you seen Black Panther? Yeah, I did. You know, and I'm a big Marvel guy. And then they go on. So there's like it's like Ford and Chevy, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Marvel or what's the other one?
That's we don't even care.
No, it's Marvel or Crisscross.
Come on, you never read a comic book in your life.
I used to read Richie Rich.
I read Choose Your Own Adventure.
Richie Rich was a good one. And I read some Archies. Yeah, the superhero stuff was kind of lost to me. And I know there's people out there who are huge, huge fans. I mean, there's millions. I mean, millions and millions.
Well, the thing is, I loved all, like, you're talking about the Superman movie comes out, Christopher Reeve.
DC. DC and Marvel.
Eh.
That's what it is, Paul. You got to get with it. You don't know. You don't even know who's DC and who's Marvel.
I do know that the people who created Superman got completely screwed out of it.
They did?
Yeah, there's like two guys that created Superman and sold it to whoever made a DC or Marvel for like $3,000. And there was like all this pressure to like actually, because one of the guys is still alive.
Who, Aquaman?
No, the guys who created it.
Oh.
And never got anything of it. Of all the movies, all the everything, you know, how big right. Superman is. Imagine if you created something like that and you got like no piece of it and nobody that you told you created it would ever
believe you. I'm serious. I'm the guy who made Superman. No, Paul, what you don't understand, here's how you think of it. DC is the classics.
Okay.
Superman.
Who's Stan Lee? Is
Batman.
DC?
Yeah, he's DC.
Okay.
No, he's Marvel.
See, you don't even know.
Superman. Marvel is Superman. No. I don't know. I'm confused, too. But I know one of them is the classics. Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, the Joker, all those people. Then the other side is like Wolverine
mm-hmm.
and Captain America.
Right.
All those. Thor. All that horse duty.
Yeah, it looks like it's stupid.
DC is like the classics. Silver Surfer.
I don't know who that is. I like the Iceman. Who's he?
Iceman was a guy who used to play for the Celtics.
No, George.
So
Kravitz.
I've heard that a lot. So apparently people, grown-ups, like people older than myself, were telling me, you know, and I'm a Marvel guy, but I really thought the Black Panther was going, it was a little too long. What do you mean? You know, everybody needs something, Paul. Everybody needs something to belong to.
Here you go, Tom. In March 1938, in exchange for $130 in cash, they signed away all rights to Superman to DC Comics.
Wow.
$130.
Well, maybe they bought something good with that money.
Superman in 1978 made $80 million. Has received more than $250 million of the more than $1 billion that Superman has made. That's crazy.
The big deal is that the DC people have all the classics, but the comic book nerds don't feel like they're being treated the right way.
But that's what bothers me is like all this. Like I love the Batman TV show.
Why don't you marry it?
Well, those guys think it's too silly. It's
right.
Like Adam West, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Because like, it was silly.
They're like, no, man, you don't get
it's
it.
Two guys in tights. It's not real.
You don't get it.
Yeah, Superman. What was the other?
Oh, Aquaman.
Spider-Man. Remember the Spider-Man TV show? It was like in the 80s. Like real life. Peter Parker. Remember they had it, he would wear the actual suit and climb up the buildings and stuff, and they had to kind of use all these tricks.
Right. I like the new Spider-Man.
It's pretty good.
That was fun.
Except when they go too crazy into like CGI, like you can tell it's just like a fake guy flying through like 10 buildings or something like that.
Really? That ruins the
authenticity
of
stunts.
Of him being a real spider.
I don't want to watch a cartoon. I'm an adult.
These aren't for you.
No, I liked the last Spider-Man was good.
I thought,
with the younger kid there.
And what's his face in it? Your buddy Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton?
Who starred as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. Who I love in a lot of movies.
Yeah, he was great.
Gung Ho. Mr. Mom.
Pete Corielli always says that he's the greatest actor of all time.
Really? I'm trying to... What do you think of that? because there's the Tom Hanks, Michael Keaton, Bill Murray thing, and I think all of those guys just imitated Bill Murray to some point. Or do you think those guys are more authentic?
Yeah, they all kind of came up at the same time, so there was like that, you know, early 80s kind of cool guy.
Even Chevy
vibe.
Chase is a little bit like that, just kind of smart-ass leading man thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I like all of them.
Yeah, I don't want to pit them against each other.
But Michael Keaton in Beetlejuice was amazing. I didn't even like the one that he won the award for.
Night Shift,
yeah. What else was it? Johnny Dangerously.
Oh, boy.
You don't remember that?
There was a reason why he went away for a while. Right?
I think he got sober, didn't he?
Birdman was the
Birdman,
big,
yeah.
The big return.
I thought that was going to be more fun. It was just like a sad... He was great in The Good Guys. Did you ever see that? When he was like the...
It's got to be cool how you go from being, you know, a movie star. He was Batman.
Right, yeah,
And then you kind of like really disappear for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then you're back as like a huge movie star again.
Right.
I guess we won't have that part.
Yeah.
Like if we become movie stars, it'll be, wow, we became movie stars. It won't be again.
Well, did you?
I think we're past the again story.
Did you see the Clooney thing with Letterman on Netflix?
No, was it good?
I liked it. Yeah, it was good because I wanted to not like him, and then you kind of like
you want to not like Clooney.
Yeah,
because he's too cool and too perfect.
He's good looking, and he's like one of those guys that tries to be funny.
He is funny.
Yeah, he's kind of funny, but yeah,
he's actor funny.
Right. And I think it was Norm Macdonald told the story about how he was just trying to tell him, like, funny stories, and Norm wasn't laughing, and he was, like, frustrated. You could tell Clooney was, like, frustrated with it.
Uh-huh.
And then Norm just figured out, like, oh, no one's ever not laughed at his stories before. Like, because every right. woman's laughing because he's a good-looking dude, and every guy is laughing because he's George Clooney.
Yeah.
So it's like he's not getting any authentic... reaction from anybody.
Yeah, I get that.
but yeah, his family is like these really good people. His dad was a news reporter and like really good person, and yeah, it was amazingly disgusting how great a person he is.
Well,
everything he's ever done has been good. Like he's adopted.
Saying he's the Tom Brady of actors.
Yeah, except he didn't get beat by Eli Manning twice. He was like, but he was doing all these like he went to Darfur, like that was his whole thing, to help
yeah,
all those people.
Him and his father,
and went over there and actually took time off from his job, and then they adopted like this kid from Iraq who's like a you know scholarship now, and they brought him back here, and they just do so many good things, and. And then, obviously, he's like this famous actor guy, does a movie that makes $1 billion. And then, with his buddy, they're drinking tequila one night, and they're like, yeah, we should make our own tequila. That made more money than all of his movies.
He became a billionaire with that, I heard.
A billionaire from tequila. Don't you hate him now, at least?
No. I still don't. Carmen Lynch was on Bob and Tom the other day. She posted on Instagram. Ron White was on at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And she posted pictures of her visiting Ron White's tour bus.
Oh, yeah?
And that has his tequila company on the side of his tour bus.
Oh, really?
It's the name of whatever tequila company he has. Maybe we got to get into booze.
I don't know. You start our own
bread
microbrew.
Something tells me we're not going to become billionaires from bread.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe pop a bread in airports. Pop a bread at ballparks.
Yeah, I want you to be the Cinnabon of the new millennium.
It's got to be cheaper to create the bread than to create the tequila.
Yeah, and we can sell it at the shows.
Maybe we put booze in it.
Yeah.
Boozy bread.
Soda bread, or what was it, beer bread?
You order bread, and you're like, can I would like a little loaf of sourdough. Do you want a boozy or regular?
Put your weed in there. Marijuana bread, you can't start that. Yeah. Does that work?
That'll work in L.A. I don't like eating marijuana.
I think it's scary, right?
It's just so stupid. It takes so long. When I was young and full of weed, like if you want to get high, you would get high, and then you want to get a little higher, you'd get a little higher.
But Tom, do you really think
puff,
that
puff,
anything you smoked in New Jersey in the 80s was real?
Yes, I had friends that were growing it in Colorado. This is like after college.
Oh.
And it's just, I can't eat something and wait 40 minutes for it to take effect.
Yeah.
It's not, you know what I mean? A martini, two sips, you're in the game. You know what it's about. Why am I going to be munching on gummies and just waiting for an hour to see if it's going to hit, depending on what I ate earlier in the day? You know what I mean?
Or do it on while you're on the plane.
I was with someone the other night who said that she uses the vape pen to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And she's an insomniac. And that she's like, you know, you can use the vape thing because you don't want people to smell it. She goes, I smoked it on the plane the other day. I was like, on the plane?
You
know, like, yeah, I was in first class. I just put the blanket over my head and just took a couple puffs. And I'm like, no, there's no smell at all? She's like, no.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to bring those on a plane.
Yeah, but you throw it in your backpack and nobody sees it, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the kids are doing these days. I mean, I can't, you know, I'm not saying that, I'm not saying vaping's for me, but I am saying eating gummies is not for me.
Right, yeah. I think I even heard Willie Nelson talk about, like, how he doesn't even do that.
I heard that Woody Harrelson quit the smoking part of it and just does the eating part of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He just wants to be high all the time?
I guess so. I'll see what my doctor says when I go for my physical.
Yeah, see if that needs to be one of your supplements.
Yeah, should I be high as a kite? It's as if writing isn't hard enough right now. I have so much to write and can't crack half of it. I don't know. I'm excited for our jokes. You know, we're in Boston. It doesn't feel like we're in Boston, does it?
Not really. It feels like the whole city's on spring break.
Yeah, I think it's because of where we are. Are we in a weird location?
I don't think so. We're right by the arena and stuff. Like,
yeah.
But there's no baseball. There's no basketball.
It's cold.
Maybe hockey.
It's cold. Everyone's all hunkered down.
I think for here, it's not that bad. For us, it is. But
you mean people that live here don't think it's cold?
I think it's nice for them. They're probably at the beach. It's in the
Maybe that's everyone left and went to the beach.
It's in the 50s.
That's why it's kind of quiet here. There really is a thing I was talking the other day about how, you know, you want to people get in debates whether or not the weather in the upper Midwest or the Northeast is bad or not.
Mm-hmm.
If millions of people are running from the weather every winter, you know it's pretty bad.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like all you got to do is spend like 2 years in Buffalo and you'll move to California and never look back.
Yeah. Like I was just sitting in Florida. You're like, and you're going to go see baseball games. It's like, oh, spring's here.
Yeah.
We got through the winter. Then you come up here and you're like, oh no, we've got 3 more months of it.
But it does screw up the years with you, because I remember people telling me that in L.A., that you're not going to, 5 years is going to be, like, you're not even going to notice 5 years is gone, because the weather's always the same.
Right.
And you don't have this, like, transition or...
You don't sit back and think, oh, remember that horrible winter two years ago?
Yeah, made it through.
Yeah, when the dog died because he was frozen.
The first day that we could go outside and play and our hands would still sting from the cold.
Yeah, and I'm going to be in New York all week.
And you remember, like, you know, getting to summer when you make it through all those
winters. It was a joy.
You got camp.
Lemonade. Yeah. And throw watermelon at all the weak kids.
There's bees, killer bees around.
Killer bees. Everyone was waiting for killer bees. My whole life, people were waiting for the killer bees to get up to us, and they never made it.
I think they killed each other.
Yeah, how killer were they? Bunch of quitters.
Sting fights they must have had.
A guy caught a stingray when I was swimming in the ocean the other day.
What?
Yeah. It was an old guy and his drunk girlfriend who I think grew up on Staten Island. She just kept yelling, "It's a stingray! Oh, my God! It's a stingray! What are we going to do?" And as I was swimming, there were big dolphins that came by. And there's giant pelicans. You ever get a good close-up look at a pelican?
They're scary, man.
They really look like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
They really look like they come from another time.
They have a big tumor.
Tumor?
On their beak.
They do?
Yeah. It's you're thinking a weird of a shape.
You're thinking of a turkey.
A pelican? They got the bony knee?
They just have like a pterodactyl face.
Oh. Yeah, I don't like any of that stuff. Every time someone talks about the beach, there's a different thing that stung them in the foot. That like there's sea urchins. There's barracuda. There's...
I heard one weird
jellyfish.
One. I heard about a weird one in Punta Cana, in the Dominican Republic.
Right.
Did you hear about those people who got their things in their feet?
No. What? This is just another reason why you're talking
footworm.
Footworm? Oh, that's all.
Just
I
from
need.
Walking at the beach, couple finds worms in their feet.
Yikes.
After a beach vacation. I'll read it to you. Dozens of parasitic worms were found burrowing in the feet of a young Canadian couple after their recent trip to the Dominican Republic.
Yikes.
We were scratching our toes for almost the duration of the trip, said Eddie. Eddie and his girlfriend, Katie, of Windsor, Ontario. These poor Canadian bastards. They finally get to a place that's warm once in their life, and they're itching their feet the whole time. Like, this is normal, right? 4 days later, that itch turned into painful swelling and blisters. The pain became so intense, they could not tolerate shoes or socks. That's really upsetting for Canadians. They need to use crutches to walk. After multiple visits to the hospital, oh my God, you should see this picture.
No, I'm not looking at it.
Multiple visits to the hospital, the couple was diagnosed with cutaneous larvae migraines caused by hookworm larvae that have probably entered their skin while they were barefoot on the beach in Punta Cana. It looks like...
I'm not looking at it.
It looks like a mask for Halloween when they just put like all veins popping out.
But... Is that another...
They were just walking on the beach and little worms went in their feet.
Were they just thought they're going to work through it when they got to crutches?
Well, they were probably just like, oh, it's just a little itchy, no big deal.
I don't have any injury and I'm on crutches.
But what's the other option? Go back to Canada in
Let
the
your
winter.
Feet on fire? That's what I
Hey, did think. You see that one of our... biggest listenerships is first place in the Olympic medal count.
What's that?
Norway.
Norway, yeah.
Are you aware how many listeners we have in Norway?
No, we haven't gone
a
over
ton.
That. Yeah?
Yeah. We've got to bring the podcast to Norway. It's like our second biggest country.
How did that happen? We talk about the
Well,
Norwegians
wood? Are very smart. They're very smart people. They don't have parasitic things in their feet. They live in a disgusting free zone. So naturally, they're listeners to our podcast.
Is that Voss water?
To anybody traveling somewhere tropical, please be careful when in the sand and wear shoes. Isn't that everyone's goal, is to put their toes in the sand?
Yeah, that's like you and your no case iPhone.
I don't have a case on my iPhone.
I know. People think you're crazy, too.
Yeah, well,
Tom has
I have the best-looking iPhone. I have a best-looking iPhone. It doesn't have a big, scungy, dirty case on it.
I know. My case is smashed.
Just so you know, the hookworm larvae generally don't survive more than 6 weeks in humans.
Oh, that's good.
So after 6 weeks of walking around like the elephant man, it'll start to come back down.
So they just die.
They don't even make medicine for it because the drug companies don't think that they're going to sell enough of the drugs to manufacture it.
Well, that'll be in the brochure for Dominican Republic.
I was there. I was at that same resort at Punta Cana.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So are you trying to analyze whether your feet were itching at that point?
I have to say, maybe things have changed in the world, but like when I was a young athlete, I remember people having athlete's foot.
Right.
Right? Do you remember that in basketball and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
And with how much we travel and how many weird hotels we're in all the time, I'm surprised like that doesn't... It's never happened in my career as a comedian.
When you stop being an athlete, you mean?
Yeah, but I figured it would just be around. Is it just because you're an athlete?
Well, that's the sad, you know, you get jock itch or something. And
oh, that always, I get all the time.
It's always guys that don't do anything.
Do guys still wear jocks?
I think so, yeah. Well, there's all these new Under Armour, newfangled thing. I'm sure it's
like a newfangled jock.
Super, they have all kinds
it's
of
not
tights
like,
and everything.
It's not like when we were young.
It's not young the two that... straps around your ass.
And a giant, for some reason, giant belt.
I think a dominatrix designed that. Like, what the hell was that?
Those were terrible. How many pull-ups do you think you could do?
I was never a good pull-up guy. I'm a push-ups... And, like, a bench guy. Like, did you ever do that for football?
Uh-huh.
The bench stuff? Like, I think I did the 80% of your weight, like, 45 times. That was, like...
45 yeah, times?
Because I have really short arms.
Right.
So, I only have to go so far.
Oh, that's good.
That's how they say... That's at least the bigger guys. That's what their excuse was.
I was listening to, this guy that broke the record for the most chin-ups, and it was something crazy.
Yeah,
like,
that's a weird muscle.
Like
I don't
4,000 in an hour or something.
Is it? But is that's like a trained thing, though, right? Like the more you do them, the better you get at.
Yeah, it is. I tried doing like just one not too long ago. I was like, man, this is hard to pull my body weight up over this bar. Yeah, I guess I would like to be able to do them just because it sounds cool.
Well, they're like those. Have you ever used that machine that has, like, you do the dips and you do the pull-ups, but it's like a percentage of your weight, like you have your feet.
Yeah, like now that you mention it, I was never really great at chin-ups either, but I was able to dip a lot.
Yeah, that's like your tricep. Like, I can do that. The pull-up thing is like this weird kind of... I just didn't have it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because, you know, remember the wrestling thing? What was the wrestling movie? With Matthew
Practical
Modine?
Magic.
When they do the pegs and they climb all the way up the wall. Like,
yeah.
I could never do something like that. That's not...
You had to be kind of lighter, I think.
That's that pull-up strength. I don't have that.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why you don't have athlete's foot.
What was that movie? Vision Quest.
Oh,
you remember that?
Quest. Yeah, of course.
Oh, that was great.
It was a good one.
He banged an older lady that was a mechanic or something. That was like your dream as a kid.
Yeah, older ladies. Older ladies are always something that's attractive until you get a little older. Then you reach a point where older ladies are old.
But who was, like, the most beautiful woman in your growing up when you walked around? It was always the lady who worked at the makeup counter, right? They always had, like, some girl in her 20s that was, like, had beautiful makeup, and she was just there for the free makeup. And they had the two older ladies that sold it, but couldn't be the poster child for it.
Sounds like you had some mall fantasies.
I think so.
All right. You know, a lot of people ask us as comedians, especially when we're traveling as we are now, and I got into a cab today, and a lot of times people are like, oh, you're a comedian? Why don't you tell me a joke and make me laugh? And we always tell them we don't really know those kind of jokes. And they look at us like, what? You said you were a comedian. The problem is all the jokes that are out there are really bad. And this is the part of the podcast where we like to show it to you.
And people who have listened for the last 5 weeks will say, we know you don't really have those jokes, Tom.
Because we're sitting in Boston right now, I'm going to give you some Boston jokes.
Uh-oh.
You ready?
Blah, blah, beans, blah, blah, tea.
Now, a lot of these jokes, you could replace anything with the word Boston and be like, no, these are jokes about rednecks or whatevers. How do you know you're in Boston?
I don't know.
When you pull up to a red light, you roll up your windows.
Okay.
Did you hear about the power outage in the Boston Library?
No.
30 people were stuck on an escalator for 3 hours. What?
So they're dumb?
I guess they're saying Boston people are dumb. Why do people from Boston have TGIF on their shoes?
I don't know.
Toes go in first. I'm starting to think that the writer of this stuff thinks that people from Boston are idiots.
This guy's mailing it in. Why do ducks fly over Boston upside down? There's nothing worth crapping on.
Jeez.
So we're changing gravity for this joke? The difference between a person from Boston and a baby. The baby will stop whining after a while. Ooh. Shots fired.
I'm sorry to do this to you because you're a Boston Celtic fan, but here are some Boston Celtic jokes. What do the Boston Bruins and the Titanic have in common? They both look good until they hit the ice.
Oh.
Why is that a Celtic joke when it's the Bruins?
That's the Bruins.
What's the difference between frequent flyer miles and the Boston Bruins again?
I don't know.
Frequent flyer miles earn points. Oh.
Yeah, these are like turn of the century. How do people in Boston vote? Early and often. Does that mean when you can commit voter fraud in the 1900s? Yeah. How old is this joke?
These are terrible.
We're only telling you these because these are people that, these aren't just the hobbyists. This is a person that was paid to write a joke book, and none of these are funny.
Not one. A man walks into a pub in Boston and asks the bartender, hey, you want to hear this great Irish joke? The bartender looks at him and responds, sir, think about this. You're in a Boston pub. I'm sure about 80% of the people in here are Irish. Do you really want to tell that joke? The man thinks about this and replies, oh, okay, I'll just tell it really slowly. Ooh.
These are ones that I like analyzing, but they just, how do you castrate a person from Boston? Kick his sister in the mouth. I don't know why.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
That is terrible. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm not sorry. Until people stop asking us for these jokes, we just got to keep telling them.
What did the Boston girls say after sex? Get off me, Dad. You're crushing my smokes.
All right. That's enough. That's enough. I can't take it anymore. They're really...
Oh, yeah. There's your Titanic joke here. That's so good it was repeated. Oh, my goodness.
I can't take it. I like Boston, and look what they're doing to us. Well, I'm excited for the show tonight. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, sold out in City Winery.
We should go over early. Maybe we could eat some food.
That would be fun.
And then we'll do our thing. It'll be fun. And then off to New York for the live radio show next Tuesday, this Tuesday. And but, then do some other stuff. Then I have a big corporate gig and off to Vancouver.
Yeah, Vancouver, Indianapolis, Chicago, all these things.
Just keep moving, man.
Yes.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
Do it the Willie Nelson way.
Yeah. High as a kite. Maybe that's what I should do. Be like, I'm just going to be the Willie Nelson. I'm going to tour this next week. I toured the first week as Tom Papa. Very much not eating a lot of bad food, no booze. Actually went for a run. Next week, I tour like Willie Nelson. Still eat good food, still go for a run, but high as a kite.
On a bus.
To all the girls I loved before. All right, everybody. Good talking to you. Good to see you again, Paul. We'll be back in action later on for our subscribers of Patreon. Your bonus will be coming later this week. And the bonus podcast, and that's it. It's, where are we? It's February?
February 23rd.
I guess the Oscars are the next big thing coming up. Maybe we'll talk about that in the bonus.
Sure.
I have a lot of very big opinions that mean nothing. All right, everybody, enjoy your life.